let's get our Bibles open now here for a little bit tonight. Let's get now in the Word of God here just a minute tonight. Amen. In Proverbs chapter 22, the main verses in the Bible about raising children, and probably the main verse in the Bible about children, raising our kids. We'll look at that tonight. If you're a parent, you can't get too much advice and help and encouragement on raising kids in this generation that we live in. How many of you in here tonight are a parent? Would you raise your hand, please? Even if kids are growing. Well, that's just about all of us. We got a gang of kids here tonight and teenagers here tonight, and they never get too old. You don't ever get them raised, like people say. All three of mine's married, and I still have problems with them. If they do something I don't like, I tell them about it still to this day. They never quit being your kid. Let's see, something happened the other day. I forgot what it was. Oh, a couple things happened in the last month. And I sent all three of them a text. If you're the one that did this, two of them sent one back. And so that sort of revealed who the guilty one was, in my opinion. And I sort of figured it out. But I fuss at them about the way they dress. I fuss at them about being late for church. I fuss at them. You never quit being a parent for your kids. And you shouldn't. You shouldn't. I've heard people say, well, I got them off grown or out of my hair. Well, it'll never happen. You'll never get them out of your hair. They'll do something to get back in your hair somehow or another until you ain't got none. I think my monitor might be roaring a little bit, Brother Mike, on this little one. But I'm gonna give you some quotes here tonight, and then I want you to help me, and we'll talk about raising kids. Let's read the scripture first. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I want you something, not that much. Give me a little bit back. Just barely moving things. Train up a child in the way he should go. Now, I want you to notice something about that verse. Everybody listen to this now, because I've been preaching a long time and I hear this all the time. It did not say, take a kid to church all its life and it'll turn out right. That ain't what it said. That's what people try to make it sound. How many times you heard of a kid going bad and people say, well, I took him to church all his life. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says, take a kid to church and you're guaranteed he'll turn out right. I wish it did say that. That'd be easy. The easy part is taking them to church all their life. It didn't say take them to church all their life. You should, but that ain't what it said. It said train them. That's a 24-hour day job. That's at home. That's at school. That's at playtime. That's at nighttime. That's in the morning. Train up a child. You know, you're training your children when you're going down the road. If they see you get mad and cuss the guy out at the red light. Or if they see you say, okay, you can go on. Or help an old lady cross the street. Or you're training them then. Taking them to church is not enough, folks. Everybody ought to go to church. You know me, I'm a fanatic. I believe you ought to go to church when you feel bad, feel good. Just got off work 2 minutes before. I'm a fanatic on going to church. That's the least we can do. But that is not all that you got to do to train a child. It's a lifetime of work and prayer and setting an example. I'm going to read you some quotes here tonight. These are some funny things that kids say when they write letters to God. One is, here's a kid's letter to God. In Sunday school, they told us what you do. Who does it when you're on vacation? That's what a kid wrote to God. That's the way they think. Another one said, I wish you would not make it so easy for people to come apart. I had 3 stitches and a shot. Amen. Somebody else wrote this to God. Maybe Cain and Abel would not kill each other if they had their own rooms. It works with my brother. That was from Larry. Amen. Put Cain and Abel in a different room, maybe wouldn't kill each other. The next one said, we read that Thomas Edison made the light, but in Sunday school they said you did it. I bet he stole your idea. Amen, he sure did. Next one said, I didn't think orange went with purple till I seen the sunset you made on Tuesday. It was cool. Amen. And the next one said, I like the story of Chanukah the best of them all. You really have some good ones. I don't even know what that means. Chanukah? Who's that? An Indian story? All right, listen to this one. Hey, here's one I bet you didn't know. All you that work with children, bus route, anything, here's one I bet you didn't know. By the age of 4, a child has formed half the intelligence he will have at maturity. I don't know if I believe that or not, but they said by the age of 4, that don't mean he's as smart as he'll ever be, but his intelligence, his IQ set, being able to learn things, is determined by age 4. Now, if you think about it, you show me a kid that's real smart, and people say, you know, he was like that when he was a little kid. He was always interested in, you know, like, let's see, my girl's in here tonight. I'll talk about Carrie. You know, Carrie has another one going to school this year. Dax being first grade, Kerrigan will be in kindergarten. Now, everybody here who sees those kids knows there's a major difference between Dax and Kerrigan. You never even know they're kin to each other. They don't look alike. They don't act alike. They don't think. I mean, he's got white hair. She's got orange hair. He's a boy. She's a girl. And you know what? From day one, she's had a fit with Dax going to school. From day one, every morning he cried first. He don't want to go. He hates it. And all last year he'd say, "Mama, do I have to go? Do I have to go? Do I have to go? Do I have to go?" Now her, on the other hand, she is looking forward to school. When he'd bring home stuff, she'd do his homework, you know, A's and writing her A's and B's. She's one of them kids that's going to love it. You can tell she's just going to love it. They're bent that way for somehow or another when they're little. Not to say you can't influence that, but y'all know good and well where Dax gets that. He gets that from his daddy. His daddy's the same way. You know, he'll be all right. You don't have to worry about him. He ain't going to be no dummy, but he ain't going to be book smart, as they say. I can tell you right now, I hate to say it, and I wouldn't say it in front of him because I don't want to influence him. But now, Kerrigan, she's going to eat it up. And kids are different, but they're already going. When they're 5 years old, you can see them headed a certain way, can't you? You really can. And we got to do everything we can to keep them on track and keep them going straight. That's why the Bible said for us to train a child in the way he should go. My sister, my middle sister, Debbie, who's a year older than me, and she done her homework. Mom never had to fuss at her, kept her room clean. She was the perfect little smart aleck, and I hated her. She never got in trouble. I wouldn't clean my room. I didn't do homework till I absolutely had to. I mean, in high school, I'd say, how good you got to do on this to play ball? And they said, you got to make a 70 on. I said, I'll make a 71. That's what I did. And that ain't right. That's wrong. And that's a bad example for kids. But I didn't try no more than I had to, because I don't know. I just like it. Now my sister, straight A's, straight A's, straight A's, straight A's. And boy, I tell you what, kids, and she was like that from little. How many of y'all have noticed? You don't notice it if you got one kid. But when that second one comes along, and then that third one comes along, can't you tell a major difference in them? You think, my goodness. I think Todd said about Aniston, I ain't talked about her yet. He said, if she'd have come first, there wouldn't have been no other two. And a lot of people feel like that. A lot of people feel like that. They say, Lord, if I'd had that second one first or that third one first, there would have been no such thing. You think, oh, they'll be just like their brother. It worked with him. It'll work with her. And that ain't the way it goes. I'm going to use, where's Derek at? Laying out again tonight? Okay, whatever. We'll get him on that. He has been working late. He really has. He's been working till 7 o'clock a lot. But I'll use their family for example. Their two boys, Dylan and Tyler, and you check me out on this. I never knew this because them boys don't talk much. But Dylan looks like her, but is natured like his daddy. And the other one looks like his daddy, but is natured like her. That's a weird thing, ain't it? Kids will do that to you. Just because they look like one don't need, they're natured more like their mama or their daddy. So the Bible said our job is train them. Our job is train them. And somebody said this, a baby is an angel whose wings decrease as his legs increase. Amen. They said the growth of children tends to be, now I don't know if this is true or not, somebody expert tell me here. I don't know if Dr. Dobson knows this or not, but says the growth of children tends to be slowest during the winter, somewhat more rapid during the spring, and most rapid during summer. Can anybody verify that? Do kids grow faster and more in warm weather than they do cold weather? Can anybody verify that? I've heard it. I heard somebody mumble something. Well, that's what it says. It does sound... No, what it's saying is you take 2 6th grade boys and they're both the same height and they'll grow an inch during the summer and a half inch in the winter. That's what it's saying. It does seem like it when they come back to school. You think, good night. That's right. So I don't know if that's true or not. Is that right? Did not know that. Is Obama the only child? I don't know.
He was raised by himself. He was on the
board. They never figured out his birth certificate, I don't think, completely.
That's a tricky one.
Well, I don't know. But if that's true, then that's an interesting statistic. I don't know about Romney. Is he Lord of Mormon? He ain't no telling. Isn't that something? Listen to this. Here's one for you that you'll notice in your kids. A boy who is eager to mow the lawn is always too young to do it. You ever notice that? How they want to mow grass when they're little? As soon as they get old enough to do it, they don't want to do it. That's the way it is. Little girl says, I want to wash dishes, Mom. I want to wash dishes. No, you're too little. Get out of here. As soon as she gets old enough to do it, you can't make her. Yeah. Has somebody had her hand raised? Is that right? That might be true. Because sunlight makes you grow. That might be true. Well, I've been out in the sun all my life. Look how little I am. I think I'd have been this tall if I hadn't got outside all the time. Anybody else? That might be true. That makes a little sense there. The sun makes vitamin D, makes you grow. All right. Mother to a small son. I don't care if our basement wall is cracking. Quit telling everybody you come from a broken home. Amen. I like that. Are you troubled much by your children telling lies? Not so much, her friend, as by the telling the truth at inappropriate times. Amen. They'll do that to you too. You better watch them. They'll do that to you. They'll tell the truth at inappropriate times. Like a little boy, preacher knocked on the door, a little boy came to the door and said, Mama said to tell you she's not here. They'll tell the truth at inappropriate times. Well, let's think about it here for a minute here tonight, and maybe I can give you some pointers and tips and helps. I did learn by mine that all kids are different. I did learn by mine that some tactic or some plan that works with one might not work with the other. You might have one kid that you can tell it one time to do something, and it'll do it, and the other one you have to tell 100 times the same thing. You might have one kid that is naturally just keeps their clothes picked up and their room neat, and another one's just an absolute slob, and you're going to have to work on that. Now, when your son or your daughter puts their hand in yours, or maybe that little hand will hold an ice cream when they grow up. or dirt. Remember, they are the hands of their future. That hand of your child may hold a Bible or a revolver. It may play church piano or spin a gambling wheel. It may dress a wound on the mission field for a person who's hurt, or it may tremble trying to stick a needle in their vein, trying to shoot up some drugs. Right now, his hand is in your hand. And we better make sure that we guide our children. You know what I know about some parents? A lot of parents are just too lazy to fool with them. Really, just too lazy to fool with them. Just turn the TV on, put you in another movie. I don't want to, and let the TV babysit them or send them off. I know people that try to get rid of their kids constantly. I mean, you sure you don't want to go home with so-and-so? Can he spend the night with you and just try to put them off on other people? Nothing wrong with that once in a while. Nothing wrong with that once in a while. Give mom and daddy a break. But I'm telling you something, buddy. They're going to be big before you know it. One of the things that amazed me about kids is how fast they get big. They really, really do. I mean, you think, boy, we got a long time. Man, when they start school and then it's junior high and high school and then they get married and they're gone. And so the Scripture tells us that we're supposed to raise them the right way. Now, it doesn't say take them to church every Sunday. It says train them in the way that they should go. I want to tell you this. I know a lot of preachers, and I know of hundreds of preachers. And just because a man's a preacher, have you ever heard people say, well, look, it's the preacher's kids. Like, they're supposed to be better than other people's kids. I've had it threw up at me lots of times. Well, your girls. I had a man quit coming to church one time. Here. And I went, no, that's what's wrong. He said, well, I wouldn't shake one of your girls' hands, and they wouldn't even shake my hand. And I said, I taught them not to shake strange men's hands. No, I didn't say that. I did tell them don't talk to strange, you know, men that come up to them and tried to talk to them. I did teach them that. Just turn around and walk off. But I said, listen, I'm sorry. I know sometimes they can be little brats, and I know sometimes they ain't friendly like they should. I said, I know that. And I said, but I've done the best I could with them, and I've tried, and they're not perfect, but, at least they love the Lord, and they're saved, and they go to church. And I said, he said, well, they're a preacher's kid. And I said, look, I ain't no better than nobody else, and my kids ain't no better than nobody else. One time there was a preacher, and he said, why is a preacher's kids so mean? And the preacher got up and he said, because they play with the deacon's kids. And preacher's kids get picked on. I remember a lot of times I wouldn't let them go places, and I wouldn't let them do things. And it wasn't because I thought it was wrong, necessarily. It was just because people will say this, people will say that, people will say this, people will say that. People will run their mouth. And I made it hard on them. And sometimes I think preacher's kids rebel because the preacher's so... He's scared that he don't want to offend nobody, and he makes life miserable for him. You can't do that. And then sometimes the preacher's gone a lot. Sometimes the devil works overtime. Just about every great preacher I know of had at least one kid who broke his heart. And I tell you, I hope and pray I never have to go through that. And I've had my heart broke, but that's one I've never... I mean, they ain't always done everything right, but... Thank God I hadn't had to go through that one yet. It may happen. And yours might too. I've been talking with a family this week, actually mostly text, of a pastor. They just found out his daughter, who lives at home, is pregnant. And they're all to pieces. They said, it's embarrassing. They said, it's about to drive us crazy. What are we going to do? We're a failure as parents. And I said, look, Billy Sunday was a premier preacher in America at one time. He preached against liquor more hard than any. And Billy Sunday's son was a drunk. His son. And they said somebody had run up to Billy Sunday right before he started preaching and shove a newspaper in his face that said, your son got arrested and put in jail last night for public drunkenness. That'd be tough. And he had to get around and say, you ain't got no right to preach on it. Your boy does it. Now listen, right's still right if nobody does it, and wrong's still wrong if everybody does it. Amen. And he got up and just blasted it anyway. I knew a great preacher. He's dead and gone now, but if I called his name, many of you would know him. And I used to go hear him preach when I first started preaching. Old time, mountain man of God. His daughter turned out to be a lesbian. and it broke his heart. I mean, what did he do wrong? I don't know. Was he a hypocrite? No. Billy Sunday wasn't a hypocrite. I mean, sometimes you do the best you can. Now that brings up this question. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Most people say, well, the Bible says, if you train up a child in the way it'll go, it might stray away, but it'll always come back. Ain't what it said, is it? That's what everybody says it says, but that ain't what it says. It said, train up a child in the way it should go. When he's old, he'll not depart from it. But you've got to understand, please ask God for some wisdom on what I'm getting ready to say. Because I know preachers that have been nailed for saying what I'm getting ready to say. And I am a Bible believer 1,000%. Please. When you read the book of Proverbs, everything in Proverbs is not a promise to you. It's a principle. It's a principle. Now, I hope y'all can understand that. I had a lady ask me that one time. She said, Brother Denny, my pastor said Proverbs were principles, and I've been claiming that all my life, that my son went up, and her son's out living like a devil. And I said, Sister, the truth is, he's right. Those Proverbs are general principles. That proverb is not promising you that your children will always do right. Are y'all listening? I'll give you an example. A lady, I had some trouble with some people one time, and a lady told me, she said, well, you must not be living right. And I said, well, I'm trying to live right. And she said, the Bible says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. And she said, if you was right with God, your enemies would quit throwing rocks at you, because the Bible says, and when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies to be at peace with him. I said, well, Jesus must not have pleased the Lord then, because they killed him. You understand what I'm saying? That's a principle. That's a general principle. That's not a promise that we can claim on everyday life. Will somebody help or back me up or say I'm right or something, because you're scaring me.
Could it not mean that when your kid does go out and do something, that'll be an assault? He'll hear the preaching, he'll, you know?
Oh, I'm sure that's true. But what I'm saying is, it's not a guaranteed promise that if you raise your kid right, he will always do right. It's not that. It's a general principle.
Maybe it's not saying that, though. Maybe it's saying that he won't be able to depart from that, from the teaching.
Well, maybe. 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 Anybody else? Always remember that when you're reading Proverbs and Ecclesiastes and those wisdom books that... I could give you some more examples if I knew I was going to get off on that, but you can't say, oh my goodness, like that verse, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes his enemies be at peace with him. You can't say, Lord, I'm pleasing you, so all my enemies got to like me now. That ain't the way it works.
I know when you're out in the world, I know boys and girls both alike, fighting with this and fighting with that. When I got right with the Lord, I see those people out and say, how you doing, man? What's coming through? Even my enemies were made. That's the truth.
That's
at the same time, there are people that will hate you just because you love
them. That's exactly right.
But they're not. I don't consider them my enemies. They may consider me.
So it's a general truth. It's a general truth that if you'll live right, God will somehow make peace in your family or peace somehow. A general truth. But it's not a promise that everybody who don't like you is going to always like you. You got to understand that. People get off on stuff like that, and the devil uses it on them. Like I said, they run up to Billy Sunday and shoved a newspaper in his face and said, "Your son got locked up for drunk driving or whatever he done, public drunkenness." And old Billy Sunday, I mean, that hurt him. It hurts you. Let me tell you something. It hurts you when your kids go astray. God knows the mamas with broken hearts around this world, because of their kids that are not right with God. Good, dedicated, godly mothers. I used to preach revival every year in Michigan for a pastor. And he had five boys. And I mean, they was like 17, 15, 13, 11, 9. Just right down like that. And I mean, I cut up with them. We had fun. We played ball together. I liked them boys. I used to go up there every year. The pastor died back in the late 90s. And I went up there from all during the 80s and early 90s. And I watched that family. And he had one boy, the middle boy, whose name was Craig. I think it was Gary, John Mark, Craig, Terry, and Haskell, that was their names. And they were all like this. Well, Craig was the middle one. And when I was there, they'd say, the four boys go to church. Four boys go to church. And I said, well, where's the other one? And they said, he's crazy. He's grown. This boy got rebellious and grew his hair out long and was out on drugs. Flint, Michigan. Flint, Michigan is one of the awfulest, nastiest, wickedest cities in America. I mean, it's wicked. And I mean just street after street of drug dealers and old beer joints and stuff. And scary place. And Craig would always go out and sin. He lived out and sin. Stayed out and sin all the time. And the next year I'd go back. I'd say, y'all heard from Craig? No. Well, I'll tell you one thing. Dad, I'll bust his mouth if he comes in here. And they were all the goody boys. And he was the black sheep of the family. And they all hated him. We have some of those that we know right here in our church that has a black sheep, what they call a black sheep. I don't know why they call them that. All the sheep, white, the black sheep, and they call them black sheep of the family, called the trouble. But I don't think that's a good name, but they, cause they start believing that. I mean, I'm no good. I ain't as good as my brothers. You can't tell a kid stuff like that. But anyway, Craig never did come. Now finally, he come, and you know, I met old Craig one time and he was just as nice. That was the most polite. He was actually treated me nicer than some of the boys that was right. But he just got off track. And you know, I never did figure out what happened to him. He didn't even look like the rest of them. They all had real dark hair, almost black. His hair was like sandy colored, half blonde. And it was like he wasn't kin to them or something. And I don't understand that. Sometimes, who knows? I don't know. Don't give up if you have one child. You may have one that goes to altar, prays, never gives you a second trouble. And then the other one is going to put you in the nut house if the Lord don't get a hold of them. But I'm about done. If you got something you want to say or can help on this, we've got people in here struggling. And some of you, and I have nobody in mind when I say this, but we have kids in our church that are just as wild as a buck. And you better do like I tell Carrie. I tell Carrie all the time. I said, you better do something with that one. You better beat her right to death or break her will. That's what you do. Because they're going to drive you crazy one of these days. I had to do mine. I'll talk about this Sunday. I might talk about this Sunday night. But a psychiatrist was talking to a lady one time. And the Bible says, let not your soul spare for their crying. And this lady was talking about her daddy spanking her when she was little. And the psychiatrist said, if I was your daddy's kid and he spanked me like that, I'd hate him. She said, if my daddy spanked you like that, you'd love him for stopping. That might be true. But the right kind of discipline is not bad for a child. The right kind. Child abuse is terrible. But the right kind of discipline, if you don't have it, they're naturally bent the wrong way. You do not have a good child. You have a child bent towards evil, and the Bible said foolishness is bound in their heart. But the rod of correction will drive it far from them. Make them straighten up. All right, does anybody have a question or a comment or some advice for all us parents on raising children? Anybody? I tell you the best thing to do, start when they're really, really little. And talk to them and tell them Bible stories and push them constantly. That's one thing I can say for my mom. My mom constantly talked to us all the time. And she told me, she said, Danny, talk to them. She said, don't fuss at them, just talk to them and keep telling them. It'll sink in over the years. Anybody, right quick.
It's always been a time when I was teaching them something. The word, this discipline is like the word disciple.
want to teach them something.
That's right.
And if you just want to hit them or try to punish them for something, I never had something like that
before. It ain't right.
The hurdle for doing something wrong, and that's not the way to do it.
It's to teach them. It's to teach them. That's what it's for. That's why the Lord disciplines us, to make us better. Amen. All right. Let's bow our head for a word of prayer. We're going to stop right there. Let's ask God to help us to be the parents He'd have us to be. Heavenly